In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hobble's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes of the barony. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hobble's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
I mean, technically they shouldn't be accosting any carriages. That's just rude.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
This is the first time I have ever done this to a human being. For a moment, I go completely white.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
Oh, why thank you. Can I get you something? Or are you just going to stand there and smell the bread all day, which is fine.
Look, they have a cup with a crab in it, just like the name.
Yes. Probably the best way to tell people what the name is.
She looks down at Monty. Would you like a berry?
He very excitedly holds his hands out.
This was more than we bargained for. Time to run away. They were right. Get out.
As she casts Shillelagh.
Now, we begin.
You were traveling down the road. You have been in a carriage with the Baroness for a little while. Robin has been telling her what's been going on. The Baroness of Castakin has been informing you about why she is out here. She came to find your father and your mentor, Noel and Jonathan. In that, she got you two, which is perfectly fine. She looks at you, Odie. I wasn't expecting you, but you fit what your auntie told me. Your auntie Siobhan. You probably don't even know who she is, do you?
Oh. She's the druid of the Circle of Stars that Noel said I should talk to.
Yes, I don't know how much you know about the Druids of the Stars.
Odie will start reciting off platitudes that she's learned from Noel about the mission of the Circle of Stars and what they believe and all of this, and it's very much book learning that she's reciting.
I'm glad to see that you've been keeping up with your studies and that Noel has taught you well about what the Druids of the Stars are supposed to do. Siobhan is my advisor. She helps me. She keeps me appraised of what is happening and lets me know when dangers are coming up.
That sounds like a very important job.
Important enough. She's very good at it. She told me that we were headed for darkness, the barony, and maybe even the kingdom of Rook. That something or someone or a darkness was rising up. And that to even stand a chance at fending it off, I would have to go to the place of Hobbles and find heroes. A dreamer and a star. There are rumors that your father, Aramon, used to be a dreamer.
My father never really talks much about dreaming. That's kind of odd. He's very grounded in reality.
He's very devoted to the dreaming god back in the day.
Aramon is having a very hard time picturing his father doing anything fanciful like, you know, dreaming or even following anything but the most rote religious discipline.
It's said that when your mother died, he gave up his faith.
That sounds sad.
It is, but life must go on. Some people can weather those kinds of storms, and some people can't. It's understandable. So I have you two. There are these creatures. I heard you had a run-in with them.
The mud creatures.
Mud creatures. Rock creatures. They've been popping up all over the barony. I believe that is part of what is this rising darkness. So I need your help.
Emma and Robin are both looking at the situation. Emma's eyes are getting wider and wider. Robin, it's just taking it all in.
Do you have a specific thing that we're supposed to help with? I mean, I'm totally willing to help, but with what?
Well, I have Siobhan looking into that. I'm hoping that you, with the resources of the barony at your disposal in the library, will be able to assist her in finding out more information about what is happening. I wouldn't have came myself, but Siobhan said it was necessary for me to see what was going on.
I'm very pleased to get to meet you, your Highness. No, sorry. Sorry, no. I'm so terrible with titles.
She actually laughs. Lil Hava is fine. We don't have to be so formal unless there are people around. If there are people around, it's Baroness.
I think I can do that.
There are some things that have been happening in the barony that I am also out here trying to correct. There is a group known as the Black Blades that have been running amok on this circle.
The circle is the road that circles the Salt Silk Lake. I'm not sure where they're operating out of, but they're bandits. Rumors are that the people from Brookshire have sent someone out here to start this little bandit tree group and are doing a great job of harrying our trading in the area. It's harming things. I don't appreciate it. So if we can find them and stop them while we're out here, that would be good. That's why I brought Conklin and Max with me. I was hoping to have Jonathan, but someone trained by Jonathan is just as good.
Yes.
We'll be arriving at Crossing soon. Have you ever been to Crossing?
No, this is the furthest I've ever been away from Hovel's Way.
What about you, Aramon?
I think probably at some point, Jonathan had some kind of business that he took me out here for, but there was no sightseeing or looking around. It was just very perfunctory. We came here. I know it exists. We went back.
It is a much bigger town than Hovel's Way. There's even a building there that's like 3 stories tall, the church.
Ooh. I'm betting that in the way that Aramon remembers the town because he was so young and they were so quick, he's got a picture of what it looked like, and it does not match this because when he was a child, he's looking at things like at eye level and not looking up to see anything.
With that, there's a knock on the wagon. What is it? Ma'am, I think we have trouble. Both sides, also the rear, also the front.
That sounds like a lot of trouble.
It does sound like a lot of trouble. She looks over at Robin. Would you mind going and assisting them? And maybe you two also?
Yes, Baroness.
As we hop out of the carriage, Monty gets left behind in the carriage. So Monty, the raccoon, is in the carriage with the Baroness.
Nice. She looks down at Monty. Would you like a berry?
He very excitedly holds his hands out.
She opens up a little case off to the left, pulls out a berry and hands it to Monty.
She's got a friend for life.
A bunch of men wearing various leathers and dark greens and blacks and whatnot, all holding daggers. And you can see that there is a strip of black painted down both sides of the daggers and weird symbols carved into them. The man out in front. Hello, travelers. Time to pay the toll.
I don't see a toll booth.
We are the toll booth.
I don't think it works like that.
Max looks over his shoulder at you. You're chatty, aren't you? Conklin's like, she's a good lass. She's giving lip to these motherfuckers.
I don't know if you quite realize this, but this is the wrong carriage for you to be accosting, and I feel it is my duty to give you a chance to surrender and to turn yourselves in before this gets any worse for you.
I mean, technically, they shouldn't be accosting any carriages.
That is correct.
That's just rude.
True facts. True facts, m'lady. Emma's like, what do we do? What do we do? Robin's like, just calm down. It's fine. We're fine. There's only 9 of them. And the gentleman out front says, yeah, you're outnumbered. It seems like a bad idea. I mean, the toll is paltry. Only 5 gold pieces, and then you can be on your way. By the way, this carriage is traveling in disguise. It's not well known that this is the Baroness's carriage.
That's why I stopped a little short of what I was about to say.
Yeah, I would have stopped you if you would have given that away.
There is a half second when Emma is asking what to do where I almost answer her before Robin does.
Max takes a step back, looks at the carriage. A little slit opens up and the Baroness passes out 5 gold pieces, but she whispers something to him. Max walks up to the man in blue. Stops about 10 feet away from him, drops the 5 gold pieces in the dirt, takes a step back. There you go. There's your 5 gold. The man, who is obviously in charge, he takes a step forward. As he leans down to pick up the gold pieces, Max lunges at him. Roll for initiative.
I got a 9.
I got a whopping 11.
You still go before I do.
Max lunges forward and stabs this guy.
That is an 8.
Oh, Max lunges forward and stabs at this guy. He was obviously waiting for it and takes a step back and blocks it with his sword and pulls out a rapier. At that, both Robin and Emma were ready, and they just turn and fire bows that they had. And they both hit. So I rolled a 15 and a 22.
Who's more accurate, though?
Robin was more accurate. Emma and Robin. Robin was obviously whispering to Emma when she's like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? They fling their bows off their backs. They draw arrows that already were partially in their hands and fire and just both plunk, plunk right into that guy's chest and he just drops. The bandit leader, this black blade, says, they're trained. They know what they're doing. Be careful. Next, they get to go. I rolled pretty high. Odie, you see the one of the ones in the back of the carriage. go right for the door for the carriage. The two bandits that go after Robin both miss. She blocks the attacks with the bow that she's holding in her hand, actually sliding them off to the left and the right. That bow is very thick and well made. Aramon, one of them comes over to the side, pulling out a rapier and a dagger, stabs at you. Tell me how you defend yourself as he misses you both times.
As they're walking up, I had my hand on the sword hilt the whole time, as my father taught me. Once there is a chance to fight, you always keep your hand ready. I pull out the sword and go into the standard cross defense that my father taught me, and I am basically trying to narrow the range in which he can actually stab at me.
He misses you both times. The one that goes after Conklin, Conklin's like, "Aye, get over here," and he kicks him right in the chest, knocking him backwards. The other one, though, comes in and actually manages to stab Max in the shoulder for 3 points of damage.
Ooh.
He looks fine. Max is fine. Aramon, it is your turn.
I'm going to look at the one directly in front of me that just took a swing at me, and I am going to adjust the grip on my sword and swing it across the other direction, basically following the path of where his rapier went when it missed me. That is a 20.
Nice. You hit him.
And that is 12 slashing damage.
You take him down. Tell me about it.
The rapier goes past, my father was teaching me that swordplay is all about looking for when the other person leaves themselves open. And as soon as that rapier goes past me, I kind of swing around with both hands and cut straight into his abdomen and then pull it up to do as much damage as possible. And at this point, I've known this technique. I've learned these techniques. My father taught me really well. I cut open a bunch of straw dummies a lot of times. This is the first time I have ever done this to a human being. For a moment, I go completely white, and all the blood is just draining out of me for a moment as I see him, fall over.
He does. Falls over dead right in front of you. His eyes go glassy as he goes, and there's blood on your sword. Odie, it is your turn.
Odie is going to move over to the one trying to open the carriage door. As she makes the move over there, she mutters druidic words under her breath, and her staff glows as she casts Shillelagh. And she's going to hit him with both hands on the staff. That shouldn't have been an advantage.
That's okay. The 20 still hits.
So that is 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Now, you crack him over the top of the head. He does not go down, but he looks very hurt. You can see that he's, bleeding all over the place. He's like, it's a magic user. It's a magic user.
We told you to go away. It's not our fault you didn't listen. Now, if you don't go away, I'm going to hit you again.
Conklin hits this guy with the axe right in the face. I rolled a 14. He does 10 points of damage. That guy goes down. Just blood splatters all over the ground. Max goes after the one that attacked him. He hit him because I rolled a 17 for him. He got 11 points of damage, and he also impales that guy. He also goes down in a splatter of blood. The leader of this group is like, "Well, this was more than we bargained for. Time to run away. They were right. Get out." He uses his bonus action to withdraw, and then he dashes and runs away into the woods. Emma and Robin get a chance to go. She drops her longbow and quick draws her longsword.
Ooh, she rolled a 2.
She misses. Emma is right there, though. Why don't you roll for Emma as she steps in?
Emma gets a 14.
That actually hits. She slashes into him for 8 points of damage. That gives him a good cut. It doesn't take him down, and Emma's like, "Yes!" These guys, it's their turn. They all just leave. They're just gone. They don't want to be here anymore. they don't have the withdraw action, so yeah, everybody can take an opportunity attack. That'll hit. He goes down as you crack him over the head with the staff. Odie, why don't you tell me what it looks like?
Her staff is glowing with kind of this celestial light. If it were darker out, you could probably almost see stars kind of circling around it. And as he shifts to one side to make his move, she's like, "No, stop," and hits him both hands on the staff again and makes him go down.
Robin gets a 14. That is a 6 on the die.
Doesn't quite take him down, so he manages to get away as they run off into the woods. Anybody want to try to pursue them?
Aramon is definitely not in the right headspace to be pursuing anyone.
Emma starts to run off. Robin's like, "Wait." What about you, Odie?
No, they're leaving. I'll let it go.
Lil Hava opens the slat on the wagon. She looks around. "Well done. I guess that you are competent. Glad to see that your trainings didn't go unjustified."
Odie is going to bend down and pick up the dagger.
Sure thing.
From one of these guys, because it's odd. It has markings on it. That might mean something.
You don't know what the markings mean.
But they do have markings on there and a black stripe on them.
She kind of leans over and whispers to Aramon, I'm guessing these are the black blades?
That would be a good assumption.
Robin comes over to Aramon. Are you okay?
I am fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
She looks down at the body at your feet, and then she looks up at you and is like, have you ever killed anybody before?
I am completely on top of still recovering from the feeling of killing someone. I am completely mortified that this person that I thought of as being kind of on equal terms with me has done and seen things that I have not, and I suddenly just feel extremely small, and I cannot say anything.
There's a moment where Odie realizes this is going on between Aramon and Robin, and she looks down at the body of the man she killed and kind of does this side-eye look to either side, realizing she's not having the same reaction.
Yeah. How do you feel right now, Odie? I'm curious.
I think with Odie, it's very much she's a druid. Even if she is Circle of Stars druid, it's still the nature of life. Death happens. I don't think it's as shocking to her.
I could dig that.
I think even without thinking about it, Aramon puts his sword away without cleaning it off, which he knows better. His father taught him, you know.
As you go to like sheath your sword, Robin grabs your arm. She hands you a rag.
I just kind of nod weakly and clean it off. And I say very low, almost in a whisper, because it's all I can get out. What do we do with them? And I'm looking at the bodies.
We'll get to that in a second. Conklin walks over to you, Odie. Ah, you did a good job here, lass. You cracked that guy right over the head. Spilled his brains all over the ground. First fight?
I mean, with people.
Yeah, it's a little different with the people.
Yeah, we fought monster things, and I've gone hunting all the time.
I fight people mostly. I've never really fought monsters much.
I mean, it's still the method is still the same. You still, you know, I don't have a pointy end on the staff. But you still hit them with the pointy end.
Exactly. You crack them till they stop moving. Maybe you can question them if they're not dead. This guy dead?
Yeah.
He kicks him a few times, like nudges him.
I think so. There's stuff on the ground around his head.
Yeah, he looks pretty dead. Didn't notice the brains. You get used to it after a while, although you seem pretty used to it. Robin pats you on the shoulder, Aramon. It gets easier. These were bad people. It's okay. They would have been tried and hung anyway.
And I think what is really striking him, it's not that he almost got sick. It's not that. It's the fact that it was so easy to kill someone. Like, I just did exactly how my father taught me to use my sword, and someone died.
Also, every single one of these people, I just rolled some saving throws to see if they survived or not. They're all dead. No questioning them, unfortunately. Because that's the next thing. Max has gone around and checked all their bodies to see if any of them are alive. He comes back to the carriage. He's like, sorry, Baroness, none of them are alive. He doesn't say that very loud. He kind of whispers it in there, in case anybody's listening. She nods. She's like, that's okay. Drag them off to the side, let the beasts have their meals, and that's what happens. They just get drug off to the side of the road about 20 feet in by the soldiers. Do you help Odie?
Yes. Odie's very pragmatic about this.
Hey man, Conklin appreciates that. He's like that you're going to get right in there last. It's appreciated.
Well, I mean, they were bad people, but, you know, they shouldn't be left by the side of the road and let them serve the forest.
It's a good attitude to have. Good attitude to have. He hands you a flask if you want it.
She has no idea what this means, but she seems to think it means to take a drink, so she takes a drink.
It is some sort of very potent whiskey.
This is Odie. She makes a face. She doesn't even try to not make a face.
That'll give you a little bit of a burn. Take off the edge. Not that you have any edge, but it'll make you probably a little bit more mellow. You seem a little high strung.
Yeah, no pointy ends on this stick.
Lahava's like, we should move on.
Before I leave, I will just say like a quick benediction. May they dream of a better life in their eternal rest.
Odie will stand with him when he does this.
Emma and Robin stand there too. You notice that Emma is much like Odie and maybe even a little bit more excited than Odie. Odie's pragmatic about it. Emma's like, yeah, nobody telling me what to do now. I got him. Almost a little bloodlusty.
It doesn't bother Aramon that Robin is good at doing this. It just kind of bothered him that he realized that he had never done this and she has. But I think with Emma, that almost breaks his feeling that, you know, he was kind of proprietary about teaching her how to use a sword. Emma doesn't feel like the same girl she was when I was training her to use the sword, even though she probably was.
Well, this is the girl you kept forgetting is actually older than you.
That's true.
Was it Max that got hurt?
Yes, he did.
I'm going to walk up to him and say, can I take a look at the shoulder?
Certainly. Are you a medic?
Sort of. I learned something.
Okay.
I feel that, the peace welling up in me and feeling warmer and warmer, and I put my hand on the wound, and I will, you know what, I don't know any better. I'm just going to pump the full 5 hit points that I can do into the wound.
You don't have to. You can put the 3 that he needs. Your control's enough, unless you want to play that you don't have the control.
He would be paying attention. Once he starts seeing the wound knitting together, he would stop.
When you do that, he looks at you. He's like, are you a Titan Shard wielder?
No, I've had no formal training in any kind of magic. Just swords.
Interesting. He leans over back to the wagon. He's like, did you see that, Baroness? She nods her head. You are a very intriguing young man, Aramon Durant.
I only hope that I can be of service.
I think you will be. There's a carriage ride. Does anybody want to talk to anybody while we're on the carriage ride, or do we want to just move on to crossing?
She's going to make sure that Aramon is okay. Have Monty go over and start begging for snacks or something like that.
Aramon is just like staring out the window if he is near the window, not really saying anything. And then when Monty comes over, he'll kind of smile and he'll look around to see if there's any kind of stick or anything to practice his sword play with Monty.
Monty actually comes over with a stick. When he realizes there's no treats in here, he has like a stick somewhere, like maybe Odie has one under inner like pockets of her robe or something.
And I just kind of cross stick swords with him a few times when he comes over.
Robin smiles at that. Emma giggles. Even the Baroness gives a wry grin at that. You take turns as you travel down the road, getting out and walking, and then riding on the carriage and letting other people ride along. Eventually, though, you come to Crossing. Crossing is a much bigger town than Hovel's Way. It crosses the small river that runs between the Salt Silt Lake and the small lake that is by Hovel's Way. There are a number of buildings, including a church to the monarch being the god of civilization. There are fishing boats and fishermen all along the river and on the docks. There are some small farms here. It's a bustling town. There's several hundred people wandering around. You're also past a bunch of farms and farmlands on the way in too. You're guessing that probably extends to the south and the north. Well, I was like, let's get some lodgings at the inn, and then we will rest for the evening, and we'll proceed forward tomorrow. While we're here, please feel free to explore Crossing, find out what you can about what's going on here. I have some business to attend to. Max and Conklin, you will come with me. Robin, make sure Emma doesn't get into too much trouble. Yes, ma'am. Emma looks sideways at the situation. The Baroness looks at Emma and is like, you are not a knight of Castakin yet. You have training to perform. Mind your liege knight. Emma looks down as she just gets scolded.
Odie leans over to Aramon. This place is so big.
You know, I saw it once as a child, and I don't remember it being this big. Then again, I think my father just took me straight to the building where he had business, and we spent maybe an hour there and left.
What would you two like to do?
Odie wants to explore. When we get out of the caravan, she'll wait for Aramon, but if he seems to want to go do something else, she'll go off by herself.
Aramon kind of wants to be near a friendly face at the moment, so he is going to stick near to Odie. He'll let her lead wherever she wants to go, though.
She's probably led by her nose, so, you know, maybe that means going to the docks where the fishermen are, or if there's a bakery or something like that in the town.
There is, in fact, a bakery. There's just a sign with a loaf of bread on it.
She's gonna poke her head in the door and look around.
There is a gentleman working some ovens. It smells amazing in here. All sorts of different fresh and later baked breads. It's later in the day, right? So, like, these are the breads that have been baked for dinner. This guy's been working in here all day, you're guessing, by the flour that's all over the place. There is a counter, and you can see there's a shelf behind. There's, like, loaves of bread and different baked goods and some cookies and things like that. He looks over. He is a moderately sized man. He's got a black mustache. He's wearing a white wrap around his head. How can I help you?
It smells so good in here.
Oh, why, thank you. Can I get you something? Or are you just going to stand there and smell the bread all day, which is fine?
I mean, can I?
Stand there and smell the bread?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Let me know when you want something. I'm going to get back to work. As you stand there, smelling bread, which smells amazing, a couple people walk in. They buy some things, he exchanges money with them, and then they walk out.
You know, Odie, we may be from a small town, but we know how money works.
Oh, yeah.
We could probably buy something if we wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't super hungry yet, but it just smells so good.
Oh, here, why don't you try this? And he grabs a cookie, and he hands it over. It's a chocolate chip cookie.
I split it in half and hand half to Aramon. And then I take like a third off of the half that's left and hold it out to my backpack.
Oh, Monty reaches out. He's like, what's this? It smells amazing.
And then she's going to happily eat it.
Monty like puts in his mouth like, oh my God, I never want to eat a berry again. I just want these.
It's probably not good for you to have it all the time.
What are these things? He points at the chocolate chips in there. Having never had a chocolate chip in his life, which is a crime against nature.
How common is chocolate here? Is that like a delicacy that we would only get in a bigger town like this?
Hovel's Way is like, if somebody ever brought chocolate back there, they probably didn't share it very much. I mean, maybe you had it a long time ago, or maybe you've had it once in a great while, but like Monty's probably not really ever got his hands on any. It's not something that Noelle ever kept around.
I was going to say that Noelle got a package once that had some in it, and she shared one with Odie. So Odie has had a chocolate chip before.
There you go. But Monty never has. He's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Can we have more? I want more. I want more. I want more chocolate chips.
No. This was a nice gift from the man.
But you could use some of that coin stuff. It's called money, right? That's what you call it? To buy some.
Well, yeah, but
Aramon, you just see Monty sticking his head out of the pack now, pointing at the chocolate chip cookies. Squeak, squeak, squeak at Odie.
I will break the half that she gave me in half again and hand that to Monty.
Oh my God, you're the best. You're such the best. Thank you so much. Not that you can understand what he's saying, but he's obviously appreciative.
Yeah.
He can't have these all the time, but... So, Mr. Baker, sir.
You can call me Duncan.
Hi, Duncan. So we're passing through. We're going to stay at the inn tonight, but we're supposed to also talk to people and find out what's been happening around town.
Oh, well, it's been interesting around here these days. Some problems on the lake.
Yeah, what kind of problems?
Well, some of the fishing boats on the Salt Silt Lake have been sunk, and nobody really knows what's doing it, but there's a rumor that some Castakin knights have been sent to look into it.
Oh, were the fishermen okay?
No, most of them died, and only one of them made it back.
Oh, did he say what happened?
Said that they ran aground, some rocks or something, but there's nothing on any of the charts out there, and that lake is pretty well mapped.
Oh.
Although, Graves Lakeshire said he saw one of the boats go down. He's one of the fishing boat captains. Pretty good man.
We've run into some rocks that aren't well charted before.
Yeah? So you a sailor?
No, we were actually on land.
okay. Some other people walk in. He sells them a couple loaves of bread. They leave.
Can I give you one of these? And she holds out a gold coin for a couple of more cookies.
I mean, if you give me one of those, I can give you these three boxes of cookies.
That's probably more cookies than I need. Because if I take all those boxes of cookies, I'm going to find Monty passed out in them tonight.
Well, here, why don't you, if you just want one box of cookies, why don't you give me that? He takes that.
He gives you a box of cookies and he gives you back 6 silver pieces.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anything else I can do for you fine folks? Obviously, you're not from around here because you just said you weren't. If you're looking for more information about stuff like that, if that's your gig in this town, there's a lot of people come passing through lately, maybe go talk to Graves. He could probably tell you more.
I'm just waiting for my friend to start talking to people again. He's had a rough day.
I'm fine. I'm really fine.
Oh, what happened? As he's like now cutting up some loaves of bread. They have slices of bread and he's putting it in a box. You know, it's got a little label on it that he's written in pencil or chalk, or not chalk, What do they have here to write with? I don't know. What do they have here to write with? What do they make here to write with?
It's a kind of pencil, but it's not a lead filling. It's more of a bark.
Okay.
From a bush that leaves dark marks.
He's got a label on there for the cup and crab. You think you saw that restaurant, the sign of a cup with a crab inside of it. It smelled good walking past it, but you were looking for a bakery.
Well, thank you, sir.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Come back anytime. Your money's always good here. Cute raccoon.
He is, but don't tell him that.
He thinks I'm cute. I heard him.
I know you did, but you still can't have all of the cookies.
That's fine. Can I have one?
You can have part of one.
Okay.
You remember what happened the time you got into Noelle's pecan pie?
I mean, she was angry, but it tasted really good. And then I stopped doing it because, you know, there was that. And then I slept for like a day and a half.
Yes.
I get it. I get it. I understand now.
So she'll take a cookie out of the box and break it in half and hand half to Aramond and then a quarter of it to Monty and then eat the other quarter herself.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Odie. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
As soon as Odie isn't looking, I will break mine in half too and give him half of it.
He quietly just eats it, not making all the noises that he was making before to not alert you to it as he's hiding in your bag.
He does get into these cookies. You may need to get a bigger backpack.
He gives you like a little raccoon thumbs up.
I mean, all of Odie's clothes that are in that bag are now covered in chocolate chip cookie crumbs.
Correct. What do you two want to do now?
I think we should go talk to that guy he said was on the boat.
Yes, that seems like where to gather some information. That seems like a good place to go.
All right, you stroll to the west down the river a little bit to a dock, and there is a fishing boat there. There are three people on or around the boat getting it ready. Really, they're just tying it up for the night. They've been out fishing all day, you're guessing, based on the fact that the sun is getting close to the horizon.
I will elbow Aramon.
Hello there. We're looking for a captain. We wanted to speak with him.
You looking for Captain Lakeshire?
Yes, that would be the one.
Hey, Cap! Man comes out. He's got like a pencil-thin mustache. He's got bags under his eyes. He's tall. He is wearing leather boots. His clothing looks damp, or maybe treated. Water gets on it and kind of flakes off. Looks down at you from the boat. I'm Graves Lakeshire. How can I help you?
If you have the time, we wish to discuss a little bit about the unfortunate incidents that happened out on the lake with the ships that went missing.
And the unexpected rocks.
He looks a little nervous. He's like, who are you to be asking about stuff like that?
I'm Odie. He's Aramon. We're passing through town.
And why do you care about what's going on the lake?
My father, Jonathan Durant, was a knight, and he's got some acquaintances that would like me to inquire as to what's going on so that he can assess whether there are problems for any of his friends that he hasn't seen in a while.
I know Durant. You're his kid, Aramon, right?
That I am.
Sure thing. Come on the boat. I'll get you a cup of tea. We cut to the inside. They're sitting in the small cabin that is his quarters. There's a small bed on the one side. There's a desk there. He has put together some tea. There is a little circular, you're not sure what it is. You've never seen something like that before, but it is heating up the tea. Like a little device that you put the teapot on top of. Hmm. He pours the tea.
Would you like a cookie to go with your tea?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Are those from the bakery?
Yeah, they're from Dunkin's.
He makes really good cookies.
He really does. I would have been just happy to stand inside and smell the bread, but then he offered us a cookie, and then I bought more cookies, and I really like these, but I'm glad I didn't buy all three boxes.
As you talk, he smiles a little bit more and a little bit more. He's like, yeah, that can happen with Dunkin's breads. He's a very good baker. Surprised that he's out here and not actually in Castikin at this point. Must have something to do with his daughter. She's still here, so he must want to stick around for her. So, you wanted to ask me about what happened on the lake?
Yes, we've heard some other strange things going on, and we even encountered a little bit of strangeness ourselves, so we just wanted to touch base on this.
We heard only one of the sailors made it back?
Yeah, that was a thing that happened. Her name was Phoebe Fulton. She was pretty traumatized by the whole thing. Hasn't been on the lake since then. That was about 3 weeks ago.
How many people have you lost?
A dozen? At this point, our fishing boats are, you know, they're small. We've lost three so far. It's been really strange. We have this lake pretty well charted, especially where we fish. And there's no rocks or juttings or anything like that there. We haven't had any, like, of the quakes or anything like that lately. So I don't know why these things are happening. But you said you've seen some weird stuff? He seemed interested when you said that.
Yes. So when we were back in our town, there were some creatures that rose up out of the lake, and they were made out of mud, and they tried to accost one of the fishermen in town, and we had to put them down.
He makes a strange face when you say that, and he gets kind of this faraway look in his eyes. He's like, I guess I wasn't crazy then. I did see that.
What did you see?
I'm pretty sure I saw. I was on my boat. We were fishing. It was dusk, so the light wasn't great. We were a bit of a ways from shore, but I thought I saw this creature made of stone drag a sheep into the lake. Between here and Nooks. Nooks, you know, is to the southwest.
That is similar to some of the things that we saw.
I didn't know they'd gone after livestock, though.
I mean, the fact that they're attacking people is even more terrifying, if you ask me.
Yes.
You said that you were hesitant to bring this up, or that you weren't sure that you had actually seen what you thought you saw.
It sounds like I'm losing my mind, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
I mean, if you've never seen one before, wouldn't it sound a bit out there?
If I hadn't been covered by the goo from one of them, I probably would think I was going crazy, too, for just seeing one.
Sure, sure.
I see a lot of things in my dreams, so it didn't really surprise me that much.
You folks are a little bit odd yourselves, too, huh?
I mean, yeah.
I could tell you another thing that's odd, and I didn't necessarily want to talk about it, but a couple other people have seen it. A few miles west in the lake, this little island appeared, and it's not on any of the charts. It's just new.
Has anybody sailed to it?
No, people are avoiding it because, you know, of the things that have been going on. We're all staying pretty close to the shore if we can.
That makes sense.
And the other strange thing that's been happening is that fires have been appearing on Callion Island, and nobody knows who's making the fires. Us fishermen, we've all gotten together and talked about it, but none of us have been out there. If anybody wants to make a history check, they can.
I will make one. I got a 19.
Nice roll. Callion Island is a reference to Joseph Callion. Joseph Callion is a hero from Crossing, and he's buried on Callion Island.
He was around during the Conklin War. This was a civil war in the Kingdom of Rook.
But eventually, he left the fighting because he realized that this was a silly war that shouldn't have been fought, and he wanted to stop seeing the people of Rook die.
But he still died enough of a hero to be buried kind of with honors out on the island?
Yep. When he came back here, he became a fisherman. That's why they buried him on that island. He used to go there a lot.
And how long ago did that happen?
15 years ago.
Ahriman's dad fought in the war.
Ahriman has a moment where he is very much Ahriman again, and as soon as he said it was before you were born, I look over at Odie and say, that was 19 years ago.
Yes, you were born 19 years ago.
I hope the tea is okay.
I'm betting that my father has very specific taste in tea. So if it is not exactly what my father would have been buying, I'm kind of like doing the little kid thing when you drink something or eat something somewhere else and it's not prepared the same way it is where you're used to it.
What kind of tea does your dad like?
I picture it being like a very strong black tea, definitely.
Whereas Odie's used to tea that is made from whatever Noelle found in the woods.
Well, this is neither of that. This is very sweet. It's like a peach.
Ooh.
So, Ahriman, you probably hate this.
I was going to say, like, Odie sees him, like, wrinkling his nose because he doesn't want to be rude and not drink it, but every time he takes a drink of it, he kind of, like, shudders as it goes down.
You pass the time with Graves after that in pleasant conversation. He doesn't know much more than what he's told you.
He did mention offhand, he referenced Duncan and his daughter.
Yep.
We're drinking tea, might as well get what the deal is with Duncan's daughter that keeps Duncan here in Crossing.
Oh, she got married. She lives here.
Well, I can see wanting to stay close.
Yeah, makes sense, right? It's unfortunate, though, his son-in-law didn't want to take up the family business. He's a fisher himself. But he could have been a baker. Could have learned everything to know about Duncan's bakery. And Lauren still goes there 3 or 4 days a week. I imagine Duncan's just waiting for Lauren to have some kids so that hopefully the grandkids can take on the bakery for him.
Yeah, and I mean, if his daughter is helping.
Oh yeah, she's a good kid. This guy's pretty old. He's like in his 40s.
Just like completely out of nowhere, Ahriman kind of goes, sometimes children can't follow the same path as their parents.
It's true.
He's almost shocked when he answers him because it was almost like a thought that just came straight out of his mouth.
My dad was a mercenary. I didn't want to fight. I wanted to fish.
It seems like you've done well for yourself.
Yeah, me and the Raker's Wave love this fishing vessel. Pretty much live on it, so, you know.
Well, I hope you stay safe.
Me too.
Do you know local taverns where there might be someone that sings?
I mean, the Cup and Crab has entertainment sometimes, depending on who's passing through.
I think we were already kind of thinking of going there anyway, so I appreciate the recommendation.
Look, I'll tell you, though, if Gabriel Sutherland's there singing, don't stay. She's not great.
Oh, okay. Can't be any worse than me.
I mean, you don't get paid to sing, do you?
No.
No, she definitely doesn't.
That sinks in, like, 3 minutes too late.
Where would y'all like to go now?
The Cup and Crab.
It's got a little sign with a cup with a crab inside of it.
As soon as I see the sign, I will look at Odie and say, look, they have a cup with a crab in it, just like the name.
Yes. Probably the best way to tell people what the name is.
Oh, I understand. If somebody can't read, then they can see there's a cup and a crab. That's very smart.
It is. It also smells amazing.
Yes.
It does. It smells like seafood. You walk into the Cup and Crab, and it is evening. The sun is now mostly set. There are people in here eating. There is a woman singing. She's not great. You do see Emma and Robin sitting at a table having a meal. You also see that Conklin is at, there's a bar in here too, and he's sitting at the bar drinking. He's got a bowl of something in front of him. And there is another like 3 dozen people in here.
Is there enough space at the table with Emma and Robin that we could join them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Odie will start heading there, but then she will stop and look over her shoulder at Aramond.
He hesitates for a minute, but he'll keep walking towards you.
The two of you sit down next to Emma and Robin. Oh, hello. How goes it?
Well, we found out that there are moving rocks that have been sinking fishermen.
That seems bad.
I've killed about a dozen fishermen and at least one sheep.
Yeah, that's not great, says Robin.
Also, mysterious fires on an island that shouldn't have any population.
And a brand new island that appeared that nobody knows where it came from, but nobody will go near because they don't want to sail that far out into the lake when the lake is sinking them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Emma's like, and we found out about the island too, the new one. That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we also found out there's been some strange people passing through crossing. They're strange because somebody says that they're one of the Brookshire sons has been traveling around the barony with his retinue in disguise.
That would be bad, wouldn't it?
The Brookshires hate the Castakin, so that would probably be really bad. I don't know what they're doing here. I just know that they're around.
How did they know it was a Brookshire?
It's just a rumor. Somebody just said it, and then it got spread.
Hmm.
I'm not even sure which Brookshire son it is.
Probably doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Maybe he just wants to get away from his family.
Robin just kind of smirks at that. Still have that problem with your dad?
My father is a very specific man to whom I owe a great deal of respect.
Still have that problem with your dad. Understood.
Meanwhile, Odie is like, every time a barmaid walks by with a tray of food, she's just like leaning. It smells really good. When are they going to come bring us some?
As you're thinking that, a gentleman walks up. He's like, hello, can I take your order?
What do you have?
Well, we have ceviche, which is a seafood pasta salad. And we also have crab that has been steamed. It's delicious. We also have some amount of lobster, but that's very pricey. If you have the money for it, we can provide that. There's also several types of fish, and he rattles off like a dozen different kinds of fish that they have. And we have some amount of pasta and bread to go with that.
I think I would definitely like the crab, because I like the feeling of hearing the little cracking noises when I'm pulling the meat out of them. It's kind of fun.
One crab for you. What about you, Matt?
I want that first thing you said.
You want the ceviche?
Yes. I don't know what it is, but I think I want it.
Okay, I'll put that order right in now. Would you like anything to drink? We have wine, we have some weak ale, we have some other flavored drinks or tea.
Cody does the kind of look around, reassures herself that there's no adult that's going to yell at her. I'll have an ale.
Sure thing.
I will as well.
2 ales. I'll be right back with that. Emma looks around and is like, the food here is really good. Way better than anything we have back home.
It smells really good.
That's when Conklin sits down. Ah, lads and lasses, hiya. You having a good time being out in the city?
I've never been to a city before.
And this isn't really a city, but it's probably close enough for you three.
She found cookies.
Oh, from that bakery? That's Duncan's, right? It makes some really good breads and baked goods.
Yes.
If you can, I really suggest going there in the morning and getting yourself a cranberry muffin.
Oh.
They're fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
Robin's just nodding along.
What were you up to today, Conklin?
Oh, just getting the lay of the land. Keeping an eye on our Baroness. Nothing I can really talk about here, as he leans in. What about you four? Emma relates what she learned.
Every time he retells it, Aramon gets more stuff jumbled up in how he's explaining what we found out about. There is a new island, and there's fires on an island, and the island isn't the island that's a new island, it's an old island. And there's rocks that are moving, and also with livestock.
Okay, then. I think I managed to understand all of that. Maybe.
Just all kind of rushed forward in my head at the same time when I opened my mouth. It happens sometimes.
Robin's like, it'll be okay. He's still having a rough time that he killed somebody for the first time. Oh, not like your friend Odie here, huh? Just a cold-blooded killer?
I think at that, Aramon is usually either dutiful or happy, and this is the first time most of these people have seen him pissed off. He just gets this look on his face like, I am not going to talk about this right now.
It's okay, son. You'll get used to it. Your dad was a dervish on the battlefield. Left bodies behind him all over the place.
Yes, my father was a veritable saint. And I storm off away from the table, and I start walking towards the woman that's singing, and I very politely ask her if she would care to sing a duet, and I ask her if she knows the song that I am thinking of.
Certainly. I would love to sing a duet with you. Are you any good? She starts singing. Can you match her pitch? Go ahead and give me a performance check.
I rolled a 23.
Not only can you, everybody turns and looks. Now everyone's interested.
Odie leans over to Conklin and she's like, wow, you really pissed him off. You're not very nice all the time.
Not very nice anytime, really.
You don't have to be mean, though.
I wasn't trying to be. I was just telling it like I saw it.
Sometimes that's just being mean.
You're not wrong, young lady. But, you know, I'm an old man. I'm kind of set in my ways.
Yeah, that's no excuse.
Plus, that boy needs to toughen up, otherwise he's going to get killed out there.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it in the span of 4 hours. You could have given him a little bit of time to adjust.
So are you two like a thing, then? That you seem to care about him a lot.
He's my friend.
Oh, okay. Get that.
He's more into... She almost says Robin and then stops. Somebody else.
Ah, he looks over at Robin. You're okay, though, right? I was pretty hard on you. You seem to be well-adjusted. Robin nods her head like, you are a dick, but I'm better for it. He trained me. That's what Robin says to you. Also, don't get on his bad side. You won't like it.
I can imagine that.
Ah, she's a druid. She won't be a knight. Maybe she'll work with Siobhan, but I don't imagine you're looking to be a knight of Castakin, are you there, young lady?
I'd be a horrible knight.
Probably. You don't seem to take orders very well.
No. Aramon, now he'd be a really good knight, but he has a different calling. And you can tell you pissed him off because he's singing really, really well.
Oh, is that how? I mean, I should piss him off more often. He's got a lovely voice. Maybe he missed his calling and he should have been a bard.
No.
Traveling
Stop.
Troubadour?
Stop.
Go ahead, Aramon. Do me another performance check as you are now singing this duet with this lady.
That is a 14.
It's
so
okay. The DC is a 10. You are very impressive to the point where you are actually making the lady kind of look bad. Poor Gabriella. She's singing with you and she's just trying to keep up at this point. But everybody here is enthralled with your voice and you on this little stage singing for everybody. In fact, everybody stopped eating for a hot second. How long do you perform for? Because once you finish the first song, they're all like, another, and a bunch of copper coins get thrown onto the stage.
I'll look out at the crowd and go, oh, no, I don't do this for money.
Gabriella's picking them all up. I do.
I suppose I could do one more song.
As you start singing that one more song, I'm going to have you make a performance check, but that's because you see Monty, as everybody's watching, like sneak over to another table and snatch a piece of bread off of the table and walk back over to the other table. It's more to not screw up. Oh, no, you're fine. You manage to keep your what does it look like as you're keeping your cool as you see Monty stealing this bread?
I got a 19 on that check. So I see Monty like darting around and I start off singing one song and I shift into another one just reflexively because I get distracted, but then my consciousness just kind of like skips the track and I go into a whole other song. And it turns out it is the very body song. And I am totally not thinking of it at all, but I am belting it out right now.
And Gabriella, she is, one, stunned that you switch songs in the middle. She's like, what is going on? She kicks you in the shin as you switch to the body song. And then she realizes you're singing the body song. And she turns beet red as everybody else in the place starts cracking up. Monty's got a piece of bread. He's back in your bag. He's munching on the bread, Odie. Conklin's like, I think your boy missed his calling. He should have been a troubadour. Listen to that voice.
Maybe. But I think his calling is the right calling for him.
Well, when he retires, at least he has something to fall back on. Assuming he doesn't get killed.
Sometimes you just sing because you want to sing.
It's true. Talent like that, though. Maybe shouldn't be hidden away in some hovel. Why don't we cut to later at the Rest Weigh-In, where you are all back together with Lil Hava and Max. And there's another person there. A woman. She is tall. She is muscular. Aramon, you get the sense that she is a fighter of some sort. Like, she's got that feel about her, the way that she stands, the way that she holds herself.
She's not wearing a sword at her hip, but it looks like she should have a sword at her hip.
I'm assuming no uniform or anything like that.
Nope, just plain clothes.
If Odie is near me, I will just like offhandedly mention that she's compensating for usually carrying weight on that hip and shifting it over to the other side. Just not even really thinking about it, just spouting out this like lesson on how to carry yourself in a fight here and how she, what her stance is and everything.
You are in a private room that the Baroness has procured for you all to sit here, because there's, you know, a number of you in here. There's like 8 or 9 of you in this room. This is Juliet Sumner. She is one of my knights. I sent her here with another member of my retinue to look into the situation, the sinking boat situation. Juliet's like, aye, so this is what's been going on. I'm here to tell you what's happening and that I probably need your help and that we should probably do something about the situation here. There is something on the island. Those rock creatures have been sighted there. At least I've seen them.
It's a new island, not the island that has the hero buried on it?
No, the island with the hero buried on it.
Okay. What about the new island?
Not sure about the new island yet. Also, these black blades, there is a man named Oliver Blair that is in charge of them. I don't know where he is, but I know him. I fought against him in one of the skirmishes. He is a lieutenant in the Brookshire Army.
Oh.
I don't know why he's here. I don't know what's going on with that. I just know that he is the one that's in charge of them.
We heard rumors that there was a Brookshire son traveling around with the retinue in disguise.
It's more than I've heard. Oliver Blair is not a member of the family. He's just a lieutenant in their standing army. Cruel man. Very ruthless. Will do whatever he needs to do to get a job done. Little Hobbit looks around and is like, I would like us to deal with these problems while we are here. Apparently, this Oliver Blair is somewhere in and around Crossing. Also, I would like somebody to go out to the island, Callion Island, and see what's happening there with these creatures. Aramon, Odie, Robin, Emma, I would like the four of you to pick one of these things and go deal with it.
Aramon isn't going to pick anything quite yet, but as he was listening to them discussing Oliver, in his mind, there is this weird kind of thing trying to reconcile everything that has happened, and he is starting to think of this Oliver Blair as the most black-hearted evil person ever because he forced these men into getting into a fight where they got killed. He is, like, displacing all of his anger onto this one person that he knows absolutely nothing about.
And based on what you saw from the men that were there and the descriptions that they gave to Juliet, none of them were Oliver. Whichever you don't do, I will have the others go and handle the other thing.
Aramon, after thinking about that, is going to say, we should go after this Oliver Blair.
I agree, says Robin. We can handle that. I'm not really interested in going out to this island and dealing with rock creatures.
Part of Aramon really would much rather deal with rock creatures.
The rock creatures are probably more dangerous to the crossing.
Probably.
We can deal with the Black Blades. Do we know where they've been seen?
No, you'll have to look into it. They're around here, though. Supposedly their base is somewhere in Crossing.
Like, in the town?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Max and Conklin look at each other, like, I guess we're going sailing. Max is like, yes, I hate the water. Juliet grabs them both, seeming like she's their senior. She's like, let's go, boys. I already got us a boat. You'll like this guy. His name's Graves.
He has really nice peach tea.
Oh, you met him? I like his tea quite a bit. I don't know where he gets it from, though.
I cringe a little bit at that. Odie, I'm not sure it was really tea. Didn't taste like tea.
Tasted like tea, just a different type of tea. You know tea has different flavors. I've told you this before.
This is actually, like, completely striking Aramon. Like, even if Odie has told him before that there are different types of tea, it has never sunk in before.
This was Chapter 2 of The Heroes of Havel's Way. Crossing. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Sneezak played everyone and everything else. The music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. We look forward to bringing you more of this actual play series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can check out our Discord server. There is a link in our show notes. You can also help by becoming a patron. Each episode, I'll be giving a DM commentary on the choices I make called Chris's Hovel. I'll be talking about the game, plus I'll probably be talking a little bit about the editing and sound design if you're interested in that. Also, there are at least bi-weekly PDF content releases.
We currently have 3 out, one about Havel's Way, one with 3 new spells, and a third which is a template and some ideas to help you world build by Jared himself. You can get that at patreon.com/THAC0WA. That's patreon.com/Thakawa. You can check it out with a free 7-day membership and stick around if you want for $5 a month. This helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage, the fantasy-focused RPG advice show Ange and Jared host. Speaking of patrons, I'd like to thank you, Victor and Doug, for being our first 2 patrons and friends of Thaka with Advantage. Finally, we're part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we want to help you play your best games. If you enjoy the Heroes of Havel's Way, you might want to check out MM Play's season of Children of the Shroud. That's our high school urban fantasy game. The whole series is currently out and is edited very much like this one. Thank you for listening, and don't let those bandits waylay you out there on the road.